When I asked Dr. Karsna to speak to us tonight, she asked me what part of astronomy I would like her to share with you, and I said, well, why don't you talk about everything, the entire universe, the whole universe, and not only that, but how we can relate God and the coming of Christ with all the cosmos and everything you know about the universe and relate to God and each other. And she did it in 50 minutes.
Did I? Wow.
Marvelous talk. We have 10 minutes now for questions. If any of you have a short question, please stand up and state it, and then could you repeat the question? Because in the future, we might have microphones out in the aisleway, but tonight we don't. So if you can ask a brief question, she'll repeat it and respond, and we'll carry this on for about 8 or 10 minutes until we have our mixing reception. But thanks again, Debbie.
Yeah.
Dark matter has been a recent intruder into the discipline of astronomy, and now I see an even more recent intruder is dark energy. Now, we call them dark because we can't detect them directly and so on. Could you give us a little idea of the difference between dark matter and dark energy and why we think there are two forms?
Ah, okay. So he's asking about dark matter and dark energy, in particular how these two are different from each other, and why don't we just lump it all into one mysterious thing instead of two mysterious things? They have two very different effects on the universe. The dark matter has the effect of slowing down the expansion of the universe. Because it has mass, it increases the gravitational attraction of everything to each other. So everything's flying apart in the universe, but this dark matter is slowing that down. Dark energy, on the other hand, accelerates the expansion. Whatever it's doing out there, it's actually speeding up the expansion, and its effect is increasing over the history of the universe. It started out having a lesser effect, and its effect increases as we go on. So, yeah. Other questions?
Does not E equal MC squared apply to dark energy then?
No, E equals MC squared. No, it doesn't apply to dark energy.
That energy does not have mass.
No. Or a mass equivalent. No, it doesn't. Yes.
Well, if we understand that the universe started from a big bang or a big explosion, I would expect it to fill all spherical space. Why is space flat?
Ah, why is space flat? Okay, when we say space is flat, that's referring to... it's referring to the geometry of it rather than... I've been showing you a bunch of spheres here. Okay, space is flat. Okay, in curved space, you wouldn't do normal geometry. You couldn't do the geometry of, say, a triangle. Three corners of a triangle do not equal 180 degrees in curved space. Two straight lines that are initially parallel will either veer off or cross in curved space. They will not stay parallel to infinity. The circumference of a circle isn't 2 pi times the radius in curved space. The geometry is fundamentally different in curved space. But space is flat, so that relieves me of having to explain curved space to future generations of astronomy students, which I'm really glad about. It's always a tough one. Other questions? there's one over there.
How do you relate the present formation of stars, giving birth to stars, with Genesis 1 or 2, where it says God finished creation?
Ah. I can think of some answers to that, but I'm also not a biblical scholar of the ancient languages. I've heard things along the lines of, it was finished in the... Oh, my goodness. Ask me later, and I'll tell you my speculations, but or ask someone who studies ancient Near East cosmology. Way in back.
Do not understand you to say that if the galaxy were
yes. Okay, just to, indeed, the Andromeda Galaxy, the nearest spiral to our own, if it were bright enough, it would be 6 moon diameters across. Very dramatic on the night sky.
As viewed from
here, yes.
Yeah,
right, yeah, that's true. What?
The first slide shows it.
Well, that's true. Can I get there? Who else has a question? Yes.
I share very much your views on all of these things. Yet intellectual honesty compels me to ask if we will forever be bifurcated between those of us here who would accept and believe in God, and yet many people who practice science and cosmology that are very happy and eager to subtract God from the situation with good reason. Do you think we will be forever in this situation, or can we give reasoned arguments that maybe, if not conclusively, at least tilt the balance in the Godward direction?
Ah, did you all hear that? Is it forever going to be the case? Oh, for the recording especially. Okay, he asked about, it seems to me there's so many secular cosmologists who want to subtract God from the equation, especially in terms of cosmology. Is it forever going to be the case, or do we have some hope of persuading them that God is governing this whole process? I don't know, maybe we need to just speak up more. And try and encourage our scientific colleagues to have really good philosophy of science, to understand the difference between a worldview statement and a scientific statement, and to be more careful about those things. I work at it with my students. I don't know, I think the tide might be changing a bit. When I was in graduate school, I remember one dinner with a variety of other astronomers, and the subject of the age of the Earth came up, and I said, well, not all Christians are... They were saying things about Christians. I'm like, I'm a Christian. And the old guy, it was from a different generation, okay? You know, much older than me, a senior professor. He said, he just said, I don't want to hear any more, Debbie. I don't want to hear what you think about that. Because he didn't want to, I still want to be able to respect you after tonight. The younger people wanted to, like, no, let's hear what she has to say. This is fascinating. They were at least curious on an intellectual level, and the meal was not nearly long enough for me to say all that I wanted to say to them, and I don't know what happened after that. But so we could help with some generational change, perhaps, on that question. Other questions? Yes?
Are they still working on the cause of the Big Bang, or will we ever know?
Ah, the cause of the Big Bang. Yes, we're still working on it. Currently, our science is extremely good up through up until 1 minute after the Big Bang, and pretty good up to 10 to the minus 6 seconds after the Big Bang. It's that very first fraction of a second that from everything we can tell, the universe was so extremely hot and dense that we can't reproduce that in a laboratory on Earth. We don't have the physics to describe it. We need a theory of everything that incorporates quantum cosmology and gravity all together. We don't have that. People are looking for it. String theory has some possibilities there. I think whether or not we can come up with a scientific explanation for that will not reduce the need for God to create something out of nothing. So. Yes?
Does that mean you're skeptical about inflation?
Oh, am I skeptical about inflation? Skeptical. Inflation is a valid theory. I'm, you know, just trying to give you the degrees of our understanding. The theory of inflation solves several key problems with standard Big Bang cosmology. It also isn't entirely worked out yet. It needs more evidence and so forth, and it might become part of our picture of the very early universe, that very first fraction of a second.
One or two more.
Oh, yeah.
Some great astronomers like Sir Frederick Hoyle saw in Big Bang supernatural. He changed horses totally. That's been supernatural.
Uh-huh.
And the ones who don't want to believe in God are starting to go back to multiple universes and huge quantum fluctuations, which are all included. Forever will be, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, Scientific American carried an article on stated on the front cover they actually exist. Inside, there's no proof of that at all. I mean, they are. But I contacted the editor of Scientific American. His personal letter to me says he was wrong in letting that game on the cover.
Okay.
I cannot extract from him a retraction.
And I'm looking for some astronomer friends with enough clout. I don't have it. So we need to lean on them.
Yeah. Just summarizing all of that, he's referring to the Scientific American article on many universes, I believe it was the May issue, and on the cover it said multiple universes exist, and the evidence isn't nearly that strong, except for the very weakest type, perhaps, that there's stuff beyond our observable universe that's similar to stuff in our universe. And he got a personal retraction from the editor, but he's looking for an official one. So, yeah, we should work on something like that. People are swayed by their worldviews when it comes to cosmology, especially that very first instant. And if we just had more data would help, I think. At the moment, there's so little data that it's speculation just goes, wow. Is there a question in here?
One more quick one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a question on how faith makes a difference. When Einstein formulated general relativity, he assumed the value of the cosmological constant that would result in a stable universe not expanding and not contracting. Something later conceded was a mistake. You could perhaps theoretically predict the expansion and contraction. Within a decade or two after that, the metric arose, the early version of Big Bang Theory, for me, while, and the metric was increased. So, do you think that faith, the different sorts of faith, played a role in science there that was significant?
Oh, my. He's asking about the history of the. Our understanding of the Big Bang, particularly the Hubble expansion, how Einstein put in his cosmological constant, that he put that in initially, and that was a form of the dark energy, to create a static universe in his model so that it wouldn't be expanding, and then later the observation said it was expanding. Einstein said it was his greatest blunder. Lemaître, who was a Catholic priest, had some worldview influence to be more interested in the universe expanding and having a beginning rather than being a static, infinitely existing thing. Yeah, it seems like worldviews had something to play there. I'm not a historian of science to really, you know, give a verdict on that. But yeah, in the hairy edges of cosmology theory, worldviews do make a big difference. Yeah. I'm more of an observational extragalactic person. I don't look at the first instant nearly as much as what the galaxies have done since then, and I do mostly observations myself, as do most astronomers. Those of you who aren't cosmologists maybe don't realize this. You know, I hear a lot of talk about many worlds and all this stuff, and at astronomy conferences, we're all talking about the distant galaxies and galaxy evolution and not about the first instant so much. Anyway, is that it?
Thank you.